So let me start again by saying good morning. Welcome to New Sharon Assembly of God. My name is Pastor Mike. I've met several of you. If I haven't met you yet, I'd like to meet you and say hi to you. If you are a guest here, so this is important. If you are a first-time guest, or if you are a guest that does not have one of our Come As You Are t-shirts, I'm going to request that you fill out our first-time visitor connection card. And here's what this card does. One, it just lets us know who visited, who's here, where are they from. Just for us to say thanks is what I will do. Not tomorrow, because who knows, tomorrow's a holiday. Okay, nobody knew. Tomorrow's a holiday. It's Labor Day. So welcome to an extra day off in the week. On Tuesday, you will get an email from me thanking you for joining our church, for coming and being part of our service today. But it'll also come with a list of local nonprofits. We would like to make a gift in your name to a local nonprofit for joining us today. Then you take this card and you go back to the Connection Center after church, turn it in, and we will give you one of our Come As You Are t-shirts for being part of the service today. Instructions clear? Take this card. This card gets you everything. Okay? So fill that out, turn it in after service. So today we continue on in our parable series. We've covered several of the parables, and we've kind of been leading to today, which I have titled RSVP. But what we have covered is finding what's lost, right? Persistent prayer. God's kingdom is the mustard seed, when Jesus compared God's kingdom to the mustard seed. Helping others. Having humility. Using our talents. And today, the final sermon in that is about the great banquet. RSVP. So if you have your Bible with you today, and I hope you do, or somebody next to you does that you can look on with, let me invite you to open your Bible to Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 24. Or 16 through 24, I'm sorry. 16 through 24. Let's read our scripture this morning. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent a servant to say to those who had been invited, for everything is now ready. But they all, notice it says all, they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. Verse 19. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the servant said, sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to his servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those who were invited shall taste my banquet. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this word today. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open and ready to receive what you would share with us today. Lord, I pray that the words from my mouth are yours. They're not of my own creation. They're not of my own desire. But Lord, they come directly from your throne. Father, I pray that lives would be changed today. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's quite a lot packed into this scripture today, and we're going to try to do our best to dissect it and look into it. But I believe there's one clear message that we will arrive to as we go through this. So if we start to unpack it, initially, this parable was applied to Israel, to the Jews, and their rejection of Christ and his message. Can you imagine the scene here? If you read a little bit before, there's a lot of context to this story. We don't have time to dissect it. Go read Luke chapter 16 to get all the context of what this is. But Jesus is sitting at this table, and right before this, a guy says, here, let me just read it because, well, context, right? Verse 15 says, when one of those who reclined, so prior to the past parable that Jesus just shared, one of the guys who was reclined at the table with him heard these things, and he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." Jesus responds with this parable. There was people in the room with Jesus that were actively rejecting Jesus. So the guy just got done saying, "Blessed is everyone who gets to eat bread in the kingdom of God." And Jesus says, "Those that were invited that aren't here will not taste the bread in my kingdom." Okay? So imagine hearing that at the table. Okay? Imagine, by the way, I forgot this, we're going to time out. Kind of time out. It's a weird transition. It's all right. Does everyone know where I live? If you don't, it's right here. Like, my backyard is right there. Tonight at 6:30, Alicia and I are having a bonfire. We'd like to invite everybody to come. Eat before you come. The only thing, we won't be breaking bread. We'll be breaking s'mores. We will provide s'mores for whoever comes. 6:30, our house. Todd's coming. He's already given me the fist pump back there. We would like to invite everybody to come and to be part of just fellowship and hanging out tonight. I don't know how to transition back from that. I just forgot to announce it. Here's how we transition. We'll break bread with anybody who comes tonight. Everybody will get a s'more that comes, right? So come and join us and just have a fun night. First and foremost, so when we look at this parable, so Jesus just got done doing this parable. This guy says, "Blessed is everyone," just assuming that we're going. But what's really at the heart of the matter is that the Jews there were rejecting Jesus as the Messiah. They rejected him. They were still waiting for their promised Messiah to show up, and he was right in front of them, and they didn't know it. So what do we take from this parable first? First and foremost, it's about Jesus' kingdom. It's not talking about an actual meal. It's not talking about tonight having s'mores at our house. It's talking about the eternal hope, heaven, the great banquet, which we will take part of if we accept the invitation to join. So this is about Jesus' kingdom in heaven and who will be a part of it after he returns. We know that Israel was God's chosen people. And if you've read through the Old Testament, you know that God favored the Israelites. He provided for them. They were the ones that he initially invited. And they also were the ones that claimed to be waiting for God's kingdom on earth to be fulfilled. However, listen, when it came in a way that didn't meet their expectations, they refused God's invitation to be a part of that kingdom. Today, the invitation to join Christ's heavenly kingdom, the great banquet, did you know that it goes out to everyone? It's not just the Jews anymore. Now it's everyone. Doesn't matter. We're going to get a little hairy here. It doesn't matter if you're Muslim, Buddhist, atheist, agnostic, Christian, black, white, red, yellow, brown, purple, green, man, woman, and child. If you have breath in your lungs and a heartbeat in your chest, you are invited to accept the invitation of Jesus Christ to join him in heaven. Can I get an amen? At the same time, this parable teaches that many that have appeared to accept the invitation will actually pass up the opportunity to be with Jesus in heaven. So this parable is packed with a warning. Simply because those who are more interested in their life's hopes, their aspirations, they're centered on worldly temporary things like a field or an oxen, right? Temporary things. These things are things that disappear. Can you take oxen with you to heaven? Does your money go with you when you die? Do your clothes go? Okay, maybe your clothes, but no, they don't, right? There is nothing that goes with you. It is only your soul that passes on to heaven until we get a new body, right? So there is nothing that should take priority over our love for Jesus. But when you have those that are focused on their aspirations, their hopes, they're centered on collecting cars, homes, building up the bank account, the 401k, they focus on themselves to the point where their love for Jesus eventually gets snuffed out. It's like putting a candle thing over the candle and it, or putting the lid on the candle, right? It snuffs it out. To which I myself, and I'm sure some of you, have been a witness of seeing people having their desire for Jesus snuffed out because of their life choices, what they decided to focus on over Jesus. Notice, when you read that parable, notice how none of the excuses given in the parable were genuine, right? They weren't real excuses. It was, I bought a field. Let me tell you what your field looks like. It's black, it has dirt in it, maybe some weeds. It's going to take some work, right? What else do you... Gordon, what do you expect when you go look at a field? Depending on the time of year, but if you just bought a field, what do you expect? Is that a genuine excuse? Right? It was also, I bought a team of oxen. Arvin and Gordon, you're the only two that I know. Have you ever bought cattle without looking at them at the sale barn? Graham, you included. Have you ever bought cattle without looking at them? I see heads shaking no, right? It would be like saying today, I bought a new car and I have to go see it. Who's ever bought a car sight unseen? I know with Carvana now, there's people that do it. So that's not going to work much longer because eventually we're all going to be buying everything offline. But there's a guarantee that comes with that purchase online, right? Sight unseen, there's generally, you have promises, but still it's not a very good excuse. It's also like saying, I bought a new home, so I can't come to this awesome event that you've planned for me. Now, if you don't come tonight, don't worry. I'm not guilting anybody to coming in tonight. But just know I'm going to go to the work of starting a fire for you, okay? I say that jokingly. But guys, it comes to the excuse. I can't come to your awesome event that you've put the work in. Or I can't come to this awesome party that you've catered in the food and you've worked over and you've slaved and you've prepared it for me. Last minute, oh, I bought a car. I'm so sorry. I can't come join you at your party. Right? When in reality, this banquet, being in heaven with Jesus, is one of more importance than any ox, than any purchase of land, or any new spouse. You notice the third excuse was, I have a new wife. Let me tell you, she can come to the party with you. It's more important than all the things of this world. It's more important than all the things that you can chase. It's the most important thing that you can work towards, is joining Jesus in heaven at the great banquet. Eternity. Then the parable goes on to tell us that there will be those that have fully given their hearts to Jesus, fully devoted to Him, and they are focused on the eternal issues. These are the people that respond to Christ's invitation and have nothing in life they value more than the opportunity to be with Jesus. These followers of Jesus can be part of the invitation process. We know this. We see this at the end of the parable in verse 23. I may have just misquoted the verse. Let me look at it here. Verse 23, and the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. We can all be a part of verse 23. Do you understand that this morning? Do you understand that what we're talking about is evangelism? Does anybody in here have a friend, family, acquaintance, whatever you want to call them? Is there somebody in your life that does not have a relationship with Jesus? Raise your hand if you do. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be filled. We are part of that. Did you know that it's often in the seemingly least likely places where people are more ready to respond to the message of Jesus Christ? It's those that don't have hope that find hope in Jesus. They find hope in Him, not in their self, not in their car, not in their money, their house, etc., etc., etc. The parable goes on to say in verse 24 that none of those men who were invited, right? So let's think of the Jews, the ones that were waiting for Jesus to come, that rejected Him, right? They rejected Him as the Messiah, that none of those men who were invited and refused. An invitation is currently open and out there for anybody to come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. Those that refuse that invitation sadly will not taste the banquet. To say those who reject Jesus simply will not be in heaven with us. So did you raise your hand when I asked if you had somebody who didn't have a relationship with Jesus? It's your job to go out and compel. There's three things that I believe that God wants us to hear today. The first one is expectations. There is a lot that we can say about expectations when it comes to Jesus and a relationship with Him and the church. First, let's talk about the Israelites. The Israelites, what did they expect? They expected Jesus to come as a conquering king. They expected Him to come and set up His worldly kingdom that would ultimately make them the superior people, because they expected their king to come and conquer and set His kingdom for as a power that can't be shaken. Rather, He came as a baby, right, to set up His heavenly kingdom, where everyone who accepted His invitation would be co-heirs with Christ. When I think through my life and just the different teachings that I've heard, some of you know my story, some of you don't. We don't have time to get into the story. But I think we can probably all agree that at some point in time we have heard these different styles of preaching. I remember when I was a young man, I heard fire and brimstone preaching only. Get right with Jesus or go to hell, right? Where ultimately preachers feared you into the kingdom of God. You know anybody who's accepted Jesus out of fear of going to hell? It's not a very genuine relationship, is it? When that fad wore out, and I call it a fad, I'm not trying to be rude, but when that fad wore out, in came Jesus' love. Oh, He accepts you how you are. He accepts you for what you are. Your love no matter what, which required no heart change, and it created conditional converts. Then, prosperity gospel's always been around, but what's the prosperity gospel teach? Believe and give and be blessed. If you give $10,000 to my ministry in 3 years, 2 days, and 20 minutes, you'll receive tenfold of what you gave me today. Nobody's writing me a check, huh? Okay. Listen, all of these teachings, they may be somewhat biblically accurate, right? Because if we don't believe in Jesus, what happens? You spend eternity in hell, right? Does Jesus love us as we are? Does He forgive the sinner where they are? Maybe that's a better way to ask it. Yes, He does. But it requires a heart change, right? It requires changing after that encounter. So all of these miss the mark a little bit, and they don't create disciples. But what it does is it creates false converts. And there's a difference, and I hope you all understand the difference between a convert and a disciple. Converts flee when it gets hard and tough. It's hard to stay a believer when you're not fully rooted in Him, understanding what's going on. Disciples, rather, they look to the future hope not the current circumstance. We all have expectations. We have a lot of visitors here today. I don't know what you expected when you got in here, but it's probably not quite what you're getting right now. Right? We have expectations of what church should look like, how people should act. We expect what Jesus will do in our life. Maybe you expected communion to be completely different than how we did it, right? Maybe worship shouldn't have been just one full set. Maybe we should have done it in three different sets. We stand, we sit, we stand, we sit, we stand, we sit. That's all I did as a kid was stand and sit. Is it about the expectation or is it about encountering Christ Jesus? It's about Christ Jesus. So when life doesn't match with how we believe or perceive that should have gone, when we find ourselves in a dilemma, we find ourselves asking, what do I believe? This isn't going how I thought it should. I don't know what to believe. And we start to question because our expectations don't match with what's happening. First and foremost, you want to know what to expect? We should be in our Bible. Great time to say we're doing a 5-day Bible reading plan. It's out on the table in the back. We started this the 1st of January. The whole church, those that chose to join, are going through an entire Bible reading through the year. We've actually only got a handful of weeks. We're well over halfway. And what a great thing this has been. This has actually been lining up the timeline with how the events actually happen. We're not reading book by book by book. We're jumping all over the place, so the story is from start to finish. But how do we know what to expect if we're not in the Word? Can you trust what I say? I mean, I hope so. But there's a lot of bad teachers out there, right? And if you take everything that I say, I'm a man, I will mess up. I said that on September 4th at 11:03 a.m. Write it down. There will come a day, don't be surprised when I mess up. You can't come to church and just expect me to be the one to tell you the truth of the gospel. You have to be in the Word yourself and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth of the gospel to you. Amen? The Bible also tells us, and if you're in your Bible, you know this, right? It tells us that life with Jesus isn't all hunky-dory. I think a lot of times a relationship with Jesus is sold as, oh, life's going to be so wonderful. You're never going to have any hardships. It's going to be so easy. That's the furthest thing from the truth. Anybody here been a Christian for more than a day? Can you testify? Right? It says in John, it's interesting that you read John 16:33 this morning because it's in right here. Jesus says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have what? Peace. That in me you may have peace. In the world you will have what? Tribulation. Doesn't say in the world you'll have peace. It says in the world you'll have tribulation. But take heart, because why? I have overcome the world. If He has overcome the world, what do we have to be concerned about? 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be, not maybe or probably or possibly, they will be persecuted. That sounds pretty final, right? 2 Corinthians 12:10, it says, for the sake, this is Paul, for the sake of Christ then, I am content with weaknesses. You ever been weak in your own ability? I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because when we are weak, what do we have to do? We have to rely on Christ Jesus, right? And who's strong? Christ Jesus. See, Israel had their eyes fixed on a conquering king, their Messiah, to come and set up a kingdom. Their Messiah was in front of them the entire time. He was right there with them. and they missed him because he didn't meet their expectations of how they thought he would come. Don't let your expectations be what causes you to miss Jesus. The Israelites had their eyes fixed on the current situation and not the future hope. The second, I believe, that God wants us to hear today is appearance. This is where the warning comes in. Many appear to accept the invitation of Jesus Christ. However, when called to the banquet, what did we see in the parable? They had other things to do, didn't they? They had other priorities. The same is true in our culture and our church today. People appear to have accepted Jesus' invitation. But when it comes time to go through, what did we just talk about? We're going to go through trial and tribulation, right? We already know that. That's set. That's fact. We know it. But when it comes time to go through trial or tribulation, or it's time to stand up and defend our faith. Have you ever had to defend your faith to somebody? It's a lot easier when you're in this. You know how to defend it when you're in that, right? When it's time to defend one's faith, they often fold quickly. They choose to refuse or reject the invitation and excuse themselves from the banquet. We know the truth of what Scripture teaches, that when we reject the invitation, we are choosing eternal separation from Christ. That should be really heavy to hear, because it's true. We can't just be converts. We can't just have the appearance of a Christian. We can't appear just to believe in Jesus. We have to be doers of His Word. We have to become disciples. We must have a relationship with Jesus Christ and accept the invitation. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, it says this, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, on that day he will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Here Jesus emphatically taught that carrying out God's purposes and desires, His Word, was a condition for entering the kingdom of God. Not saying that we earn our way to heaven, it's by God's grace through a relationship with Jesus Christ that we get there. But that doesn't mean we just sit idle, right? Because if we sat idle, how would we carry out the great commandment and the great commission? What's the great commandment? Love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second is like it, is to what? Love your neighbor as yourself, right? And what's the great commission? Go out into all the world, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So if Jesus didn't expect us to be doers of His Word, why did He tell us to be doers of His Word? Because He expects us to be doers of His Word. Because we have been forgiven and we have experienced God's grace, we must be doers of His Word. How can you keep quiet? Who's been forgiven a lot? Every hand in here should be raised. I mean, it's a rhetorical question, right? If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, have you been forgiven a lot? You have a lot to say, and people need to hear it. Further, He teaches that while many who appear to believe and are serving Him are not truly serving Him. That many will actually lack a personal relationship with Him. So here's the warning. Don't appear to be in a relationship with Jesus. Actually be in a relationship with Jesus. We must be totally committed. Each of us must strive to know Him deeply and to live by God's Word. How do we strive to know Him deeply? One, it's by being in the Bible, right? Two, it's by prayer. 3, it's by your own personal worship time. These are things that draw you closer to God's presence. Don't appear to only accept the invitation. Actually accept the invitation. Amen? Our third and final that I believe God wants us to hear is excuses. Don't let excuses prohibit and disqualify you from taking part of the banquet. Listen, there's nothing more important in all the world. There is nothing that you can set before me that you can ever convince me to say, Mike, this is more important than my relationship with Jesus Christ. I would argue back that Jesus Christ is the only important thing in all the world for you to pursue with every fiber of your being. If we look back to John 16:33, the end, it says, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." So don't let the inconvenience of life, right? Things get inconvenient, your focus starts to turn towards the inconvenience, right? We got to fix this situation, there's something happening. Don't let it pull you away from Jesus. And I know that there's been a lot of loss recently and people who are hurting, healing needing to take place. Trust me when I tell you this. He hurts when you hurt. His heart breaks when your heart breaks. But there comes a day, right? There comes a day when all of that is gone and finished. There's no house, there's no car, there's no dollar amount in the bank that is worth more than your relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's pose this question today. What if we lived for Him? I'm not suggesting we're not, but just follow me here. What if we lived for Him, making Him our priority in our life, every decision made for Him first, and then working our job second? What would that look like? How strong would our relationship be if everything we did first came to Him, and then we went on to other things? A lot of times, we find ourselves going to our job, going to XYZ, then going to Jesus. If God called you to sell your house today and start working in the missionary field, would you? You don't have to answer me publicly. Answer it privately to yourself, between you and God. Or is there too many excuses and inconveniences in the way of that taking place? What if He told you to quit your job and become a kids pastor? Hey, by the way, we have a position open for... Would you? Do you trust God enough to follow through with what He's asking you to do? Or will we come up with excuses, reasons why we can't do this, or this is going to hurt my 401k? Listen, I'm not doing this because it pays the greatest in the world. That's not why we do this. We do it because God has called us to do it. What if He told you to witness to someone at your job? While at the job, not after hours, while at the job, what if He told you to witness to somebody? And that would put your job in jeopardy. If He told you to do it, would you do it? We're all sitting here saying, well, of course I would. Why wouldn't I? Actually ask yourself, if it happens at work, not Monday, Tuesday, first thing you get to work and the Holy Spirit says, hey, you need to witness to XYZ, do you do it or do you wait? Right? Do we trust Him to see you through it if He has called you to do it? Or will we come up with excuses for why we can't do it? God has invited you to the banquet. The question is, will you attend or will you make an excuse for why you can't be at the banquet? Moses was the chief of excuses, right? If you've read the Old Testament, you know Moses has made made all kinds of excuses when God was calling Moses to go and bring Israel out of Egypt. This is all found in Exodus chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Then Moses answered, 'But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you.'" Verse 10, "But Moses said to the Lord, 'Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue.'" And verse 13, his final plea, "But he said, 'Oh, my Lord, please send someone else.'" Even though Moses had all these excuses, God met the need. He overcame the objection, if you will, and he used Moses in a huge way. Don't let your excuses keep you from being used in God's kingdom and welcoming you in his banquet. God is ready to use each and every one of us in a big way. He's just waiting for us to respond and to stop making excuses. As we close, Stacy, if you want to come up with the worship team. We must prepare for the banquet. We must be ready to enter heaven with Jesus. Can we all agree to that? And that is only through a real committed relationship with Jesus Christ. The last thing I want to point out, I've already kind of pointed it out, but it's in my notes, so I'm going to point it out again. Finally, the church can learn something from this parable. To go out and evangelize, verse 23. "And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled.'" If we look to the great commandment, the great commitment, or the great commission and the great commandment, whose job is it to go out? Ours. Whose job is it to love? Ours. So it is our job as the servants to go out and to compel others to come and join the banquet. It is our job to reach the lost. It is our job to disciple. And it is our job to send out. And church, let me just tell you, this is what we're doing every day through, what does that say? Engaging our community for Jesus. Every day that we take action that completes this is reaching out to those that need to hear the gospel message. So if you would you guys bow your heads, close your eyes? I just want to talk to you without being distracted, without looking around at other people to see how they're responding. This is between you and God this morning. My question for you is, have you ignored the invitation? Have you made excuses? Have you only appeared to accept his invitation? Meaning outwardly we look like we've accepted the invitation, inwardly we're the furthest thing from accepting the invitation. Maybe we appear to have accept, but you're still living the way that you want, not how he has called us to live. The Bible tells us that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Beyond that, we must be in a committed relationship with Jesus to become a disciple, not a convert. So my question for you is this: if you're here today, whether this is in a fresh way or this isn't a new way, this is the first time that you're doing this, now is the time to start that relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have that relationship with him, or you need to refresh that relationship with him, every eye is closed, heads are bowed in here. There's no condemnation. If that's you this morning, would you please just shoot your hand up? Let me see it. Put it back down. Church, would you join with me in prayer today? Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus. I believe that he died and rose again for my sins. believe he is risen. I commit myself to you today from this moment forward. I will continually confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Change me. Use me. In Jesus' name, amen. Four individuals, church, have raised their hands today to respond to the hope and promise of Jesus Christ. And as we close, I firmly believe every service needs to have an altar call, and that's a me thing, that's not biblical. But I believe that we need to have a moment to respond to God. Because once we get outside of these doors, what happens? Life comes rushing in, we get distracted, we get pulled away, we focus on something else, and then next thing you know, it's Thursday, and we're just now reflecting on the message from Sunday. Church, today, this message was a warning for every one of us in here. Because what this does is it required us to look inward, to look at our hearts, to ask, have I placed unrealistic expectations on the church and of Jesus? Do I have this all wrong? Do I appear to only believe? This is a question that only you can answer. What is your heart? What is its condition? And what excuses am I making? To spend eternity in heaven with Jesus means truly accepting his invitation. I promise that we don't want to be a part of, and we don't want anybody that we know to be a part of, the group that doesn't get to taste of his banquet. I know that I want to see all my friends and family and all of you at that banquet, and I know that the hearts in here are of the same mind. So if you found yourself, if through this and God has spoken to you and the Holy Spirit's leaning on you about this, if you found that you're making excuses, if you found that you're only appearing to believe, or if you've set unrealistic expectations that you would miss the invitation, today is the day when we make it right before God. Today is the day that we ask for forgiveness and ask Him to guide and lead us into His truth. And so as the worship team leads us in a song, these altars are open. Respond how you need to respond, but I can promise you there's something that happens when you get up, you step forward, and you bow before the Lord asking for forgiveness. We'll be ready to pray with you if you want to come up. Otherwise, let's close in this song, and Lord bless you. Amen.